He actually proposed to me on our first date.
What?
To be funny. Like, he's the total jokester. Anybody that knows him knows that he's crazy.
Did it freak you out, though? Even though you knew it was kind of a joke, were you like, okay, is this guy for real?
You're such a weirdo.
What is up, everybody? This is Married to the Game, and I'm your host, Maria Martin, in case you forgot, because, you know, I know it's been a minute, okay? I've missed you guys as much as you may or may not have missed the podcast. I don't know how many people actually listen, but I am here. I'm back, and we are full steam ahead. Took a little bit of a hiatus. I had to get through the nuptials, the wedding. You know, we had planned it 4 times. Everybody knows the COVID story that I've talked about, but now I am officially legally married to the game. We did it. It was under 25 people and it was totally different than our original plan, but it was fantastic. It was such a nice break too. And I'm also really glad to just not be wedding planning anymore for the first time in 2 years. That's probably the nicest thing other than, you know, finally being married. I'm just so stoked that I don't have to hear how's wedding planning going anymore. I'm just very excited, but cheers to that. Really excited, but I'm also more excited about the guests that I have coming on, especially my first one that I have lined up, because I've sat on this podcast episode for quite some time. We recorded a couple months ago and I didn't want to release it and then have some large gap between when I was getting married and then when we were picking up the show again. So I'm gonna line her up as the first one because she deserves that. It is Kiara Anderson Douglas. She is married to former Falcons wide receiver Harry Douglas, which I'm sure you've seen him on ESPN, some of the national networks. He does a lot of stuff on TV now, and he's great at it, does such a great job. But she's also really good on TV because Kiara, she's a lot of things, right? She started as a Falcons cheerleader, that's how they met. But she has her own business, she's an entrepreneur, and she also was one of the star couples, well, her and Harry both, on Wags ATL on E. The show doesn't happen anymore, but it was such a great show and they were so much fun on the show. So I know a lot of people will recognize Kiara, which is great, but she was really fun to get to know. Down to earth, she gave such an interesting perspective because I'm pretty sure she's my first NFL wife on the show, which is good stuff. She brings the heat too. I mean, she drops the gossip and tells you what it was really like to be dating a rookie in the NFL. It's interesting. So buckle up, take a listen. This is Kiara Anderson Douglas. Kiara, I am so excited to have you on the podcast for a lot of different reasons. One thing you don't know about me is my fiance coaches football, so I am in this world too. And so it's good to connect with other women who know the craziness of what it's like to be involved with professional athletes, or in my case, coaches.
Yes, absolutely. You hit it right on the head when you said craziness, because that's exactly what it is.
And we're going to dive all into that because I love the athlete wife perspective. Even though Harry doesn't play anymore, you were around whenever he was playing. We'll get to that. Let's start off how you guys met.
Wow. This is the story that everybody always wants to hear.
Of course.
Kind of funny. I actually met Harry through my godbrother who played football at the University of Louisville with him.
Oh, cool.
So that's like the story. That's not the story though.
Oh.
The story is.
Is that the story you go with?
Yeah, typically I'm keeping it like short and cute and simple. Like, yeah, yes. Oh, my godbrother played football with him at the University of Louisville, and I just kind of keep it moving. But
love it.
The real story is we actually met at an Atlanta Falcons event. At the time, I was a cheerleader for the Falcons in my first season, and he was, you know, a rookie in his first season. And we went to like this huge fan event. I think it was at like ESPN Zone or something. They don't even have that anymore, but it was like a televised event and the audience is able to like interact with the players and ask them questions. And so the cheerleaders kind of served as like the liaison. We would like go around with the microphone and help them ask the questions to the players. And so of course, I got picked with somebody that was asking Harry a question.
Of course.
And it had to do with him playing football at the University of Louisville. And so, of course, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. It was both of our first rookie seasons. So when I heard University of Louisville, I'm like, oh, my God, that's where my godbrother played football or whatever. So right after the event, he came up to me. And I was like, oh, you played with my godbrother, Rashad Roberts. He was like, what? That's your godbrother? I said, yes. He was like, oh, my goodness, what a small world, blah, blah, blah. Casual conversation.
Yeah.
We kept it real simple because, of course, fraternization with players was strictly forbidden.
I was going to ask you about that. We'll get into that, but go ahead.
So, yeah, I kind of tried to keep it cute and short. and sweet. Really didn't think much of it, to be honest. But literally, I think I left the event and maybe 5 minutes after I was in my car driving home, my phone rings. And I'm like, I look and I'm like, oh my God, it's my godbrother. Oh my goodness. Oh
no, he's already told him.
I answered the phone and he's like, you just met my teammate. And I'm like, yeah, I did. Okay.
And so what, right?
Okay. Like, oh my God, he's in love with you. He thinks you're the most beautiful thing he's ever seen. You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking him up and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm not even going there. Like, I'm the good girl who follows all the rules, who's never in any trouble. Like, it's not worth my time. So anyway, he just kind of kept talking up like, oh, he's so funny. He's so sweet. Like, I think you guys will get along well. You know, you don't have to date him or anything, but just, you know, you can be cool with him in passing. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So basically, long story short, my godbrother kept talking him up. Like, he called me, I think, a couple days later and was still talking him up. So finally, I decided to take a walk on the wild side and kind of, you know, I was like, okay, he seems nice. He was like, can I please just give him your number? I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So maybe like a week or two, a couple weeks later, he gave him my number and we started texting. And we actually hated each other at first.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I won't say hate. Maybe that's kind of strong. I just didn't feel like, again, he was worth, you know, my time or me taking the risk of getting in trouble. He just wasn't my type. He wasn't my type and I wasn't really his type either. So again, it was just like a very casual like friendship because we would see each other all the time anyway. But it just kind of grew from there. We actually realized our birthday was on the same day. I thought he was lying.
That's so funny.
I thought he was lying. He had to show me his ID. Like, no, okay, so your birthday is really on September 16th. So our birthday.
What are the freaking odds?
Yeah, I was like, he's like, see, the stars are aligned for us. And I'm like,
of course.
Oh, no. But yeah, so that was really weird that we had the same birthday. But I was like, okay, so maybe we have more in common than what I think. So I kind of gave him a chance. Again, some time went on. We went on our first date. He actually proposed to me on our first date.
What?
To be funny. Like, he's the total jokester. Anybody that knows him knows that he's crazy.
Did it freak you out, though? Even though you knew it was kind of a joke, were you like, okay, is this guy for real?
Such a weirdo. But anyway, I knew that he was doing it to embarrass me because we were in a restaurant. I think it was like Ruth Chris or something like that. We were in a restaurant full of people.
Oh my gosh.
He's down on one knee and everybody's like, oh my God. Oh, this is like, you know, cheering him on and stuff. And I'm just like,
I would have lost my mind.
Like, this is my first date. Like, I don't even know this guy like this. Like, why are you guys? So then I look like the meanie because I'm like, no. I won't marry you. And everybody's just like,
Wait, was everyone?
It's a joke.
Wait, so I guess you had to explain that because people, I'm sure, are like, oh, wow, like this is amazing, this engagement.
Well, I just quickly just made him get up. And I think everybody around just kind of like, okay, well, maybe she's not saying yes. They kind of went about their dinner. But I definitely explained it to the waiter because he was thinking it was like, oh, do I need to bring out some champagne? Are we celebrating? And I'm like, no.
No, this is our first date. So yes. Just letting you know.
Not at all.
That's funny because, you know, I feel like you're saying he wasn't your type. Athletes, you know, sometimes they get the stigma, like they're players, you know, not talking about their players on the field, but they're players and all this and that. Did you ever think that whenever you started dating him? Were you kind of skeptical in that way?
Oh, absolutely. That was my main like red light that went off that was like, okay, no, this is not the route that I want to go. I mean, I just heard so many bad things about athletes and their lifestyle and things that they're into. And again, yeah, like you said about them being players and not being faithful and being all over and having like wild parties and being crazy. And I just didn't think that was for me. So I automatically was like, no, like you're not my type. In addition to like, I didn't like the way he dressed. And again, of course,
what did he wear that you didn't like?
Well, to our first date, the one I was talking about where he proposed, he had on like basketball shorts with a long tall tee. They used to call it a white tee, like a long white tee. You know, the long ones that almost go like, I don't know, they're like mid thigh, almost above your knee. Really, like, and then he had on flip flops and socks at the
restaurant
on our first date.
Ew.
Yeah. He just really, I don't know. He was just really, I will say he's always kind of done his own thing and never cared what anybody had to say. So I ended up liking that. But at first, like,
you're like, what are you doing? We're going to dinner.
Sitting like weird and just things that just I just flagged me as, okay, this is not my type.
But turned it to something you really liked, obviously. Yeah,
so there was definitely some stigma there. Like even with my family, and when they first met him and all of that, it was just like, okay, so you're a football player. But yeah, it turned out with a happy ending. So
yeah, and now you guys are married, have a beautiful family, which we'll talk all about. But I'm glad that you brought up the thing with your family, because I think that that's also really important is, you know, also as a girl, you have your family, they've got your back. They're always going to be protective of you. And when they hear NFL wide receiver is coming to take my daughter out or my sister out, they were probably like, okay, wait a second. What does this mean? Right?
Absolutely. I think actually the first time he came, maybe like the first or second time he came over, like my mom took him to my basement and was like, hey, like, what are your intentions with my daughter?
Oh my god!
Yeah, but my family is like really—I don't know—I'm very, very family-oriented. So it's—it okay. was, and he is too. To be perfectly honest, that's another reason why we ended up getting along so well. But we're very family-oriented, so it was very important that our families like liked the other person. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, for sure. So
that was like a big thing. Like him talking to my mom and my dad, my grandmas, everything. Like, and my. Like my grandfather was a pastor, my uncle's a pastor. Like we're very like deep Southern traditional. So yeah, that was just, and he's wild and crazy. So I was really afraid as to what he was going to say in that conversation, but apparently it went well. I think he was just honest. Like, hey, I just really like your daughter and I'd love to date her and see where this goes. So
did you ever ask him what he said or did you ask your mom?
He wasn't going to tell me. They didn't tell me. My mom just said he passed the test. Like he's okay. He's okay.
We never need to know for now, but it worked out because you know, here you guys are obviously, going back to what you said about you were a cheerleader for the Falcons, which is awesome. I'm sure you enjoyed your time as a cheerleader too. You said that, you know, you couldn't fraternize with the players. How'd you make that transition? Like how did that work out?
Well, I mean, I had to break the rules a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is, I can't say was my finest hour.
Well, you know, in your defense, I will say, because people always say to us too, that are sports reporters or anchors, people, you know, give us crap if we end up with an athlete or with a coach or what have you, but there are similar interests there. I mean, you were interested in football. That was part of what you were doing too. You guys met in that space. I mean, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think anything of it.
It was definitely tough.
I'm sure.
You know, just trying to hide it. And yep. Just for me knowing, you know, hey, is this worthwhile? You know, am I doing the right thing?
Sure.
Just trying to think that through. And then, of course, trying to keep it a secret from everybody. I mean, there were a couple people, you know, our families, of course, knew. Like, yeah. His family would wave to me in the stands during the games. And I would just get my pop on and be like
right. To everyone in that section.
So, yeah, people knew. But we, to be honest, when I decided to retire from NFL, I actually ended up switching over to NBA, was when we started to get kind of serious. And it was like, look, like, I don't want to break the rules. I don't want to have to hide. Like, I'm just going to switch over. So I ended up doing NBA. Awesome. But when I went and told my coaches before, like right after I made the other team, I waited till I made the other team.
Of course.
And because my sister was also on the team. That was another thing. I didn't want to put a bad taste in people's mouth. You know, it's, well, yeah. She's going to try to do what her sister did or, you know, just mess up our reputation, our family reputation. So I actually had a good relationship with my coaches at the time. So I pulled them to the side and was like, hey, I just want you to know I'm dating Harry Douglas. You know, I gave them the whole spiel. I told them everything. And they actually were not upset.
That's
like,
good.
Like they said, you know, you definitely carried yourself with class. We would have never known. Like, you know, we hear stories about some of the, you know, cheerleaders in the past that have done things and it gets out and they're doing things they have no business doing. And it's just really ugly. But the fact that you were so discreet and you were able to keep it, you know, hidden just really speaks a lot about you. And they were just like, and if it was anybody, I'm happy that it was you and Harry, because you guys are both great people and, you know, we're so happy for you. So I was really surprised, and that, you know, made me happy. Like, yes. Okay. So I just felt really relieved. Like I had gotten so much off my chest, just, you know, putting it out there and
yeah.
To live out in the open.
You were probably so nervous just to even tell them. So for them to be like, yeah, you know that this isn't that big of a deal. You were probably like, oh my God.
At that point, I wasn't on the team anymore. So I felt like they could right. say that. You know, if I had told them while I was on the team, I think I would have gotten maybe a little bit different reaction.
You're probably right, for sure.
But yeah, I waited till after, you know, I had switched and was like, look, I just want you guys to know. But yeah, they came to my wedding and everything.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. So were there ever, I mean, did you ever hear of other cheerleaders while you were dating Harry? I mean, not that anybody really but your sister knew. I'm sure maybe some of your best friends on the team or on the squad did. But did you ever hear while you were there other cheerleaders getting with players? Like, was that ever a thing?
I've definitely heard stories. I will say there was nobody on the team that cheered with me that I think. We didn't really have a lot of those issues. We just had a really good group of girls. But I had definitely heard stories of people in past teams, like right before I came, or maybe, you know, I was younger on the team and I didn't know, but I think it definitely wasn't something that never happened. You know, like it was definitely something that had happened in the past and, you know, they had made, you know, rules to kind of help things go smoothly. So I understood why the rule was there. And, you know, that was one of the reasons why I was like, dang, oh my God, I'm breaking the rules.
Yeah, but you know what? It worked out because you guys got married and you made the switch to NBA, which I think was probably pretty fun too, right?
Yes, I loved NBA. Love, love, loved.
Yeah, because too, like, so I grew up dancing too. We have a lot in common. I did. So I went to art school for 7 years for dance, and I used to want to be a Knicks dancer so badly.
Oh, good. Yeah.
They're the best. I mean, they're amazing because what I like about NBA, not to, you know, go off the rails, but what I like about NBA, and you can probably say the same thing, is that you probably dance a little bit more than you would have, you know, with the Falcons.
It was definitely like a faster pace. I like that. Just, my husband already knows. I'm more of a basketball fan than a football fan anyway, just with sports in general. Like the basketball games are just more fun to me to watch. It's a faster pace. I don't know. I just like it.
That's so, your thing.
Yeah. So I really, you know, just enjoyed that part. And then, yeah, we definitely had a lot more opportunities to dance.
Did he ever come to the games? Did he ever get a chance to? He did.
He get like front row seats and sit in the very front and like be in front of me while I'm dancing.
Of course.
Really nerve-wracking, but yes.
I mean, he proposed on the first night, so I have no doubt that he was like in your face, just in the front row. That's awesome. So now that we're talking about the proposal, the actual proposal, now that I know a little bit what Harry is like, how did that happen? How did that go down? How did he for real do it?
The actual proposal was a big surprise. So he wasn't like as out in the open as the pretend proposal, but he actually planned it with my family. I didn't know. Like we had talked about, you know, taking things to the next level and getting engaged soon, but I didn't know if soon meant like next year or, you know, 2 years or next month. So I didn't really know. No, I just felt like a hunch. I could just tell that it was coming. So we actually took a trip to Paris, like maybe a couple weeks or a month before. And that's when I thought he was going to do it. But it was kind of like a setup, like, oh yeah, you think I'm going to do it in Paris? Because I was like, that would have been so perfect.
Oh my gosh.
So he didn't do it in Paris.
So then you're like, okay, this is wild. This is wild because we went to Paris right after we got engaged. But continue. Okay. Yes.
So I kept thinking like, okay, is this not going to happen? Like, I don't understand. Like, I was actually getting a little irritated. Like, literally like setting things up where I was like, oh my God, it's going to happen. And then it didn't.
That but it was all part of your trip like, too. Cause you were probably thinking, okay, like now we're at this dinner. Oh, yes. That sucks.
So I realized though, that was all kind of part of his plan to like psych me out. So I'd be thinking it was in what was really something else. So when we got back, maybe a week or two, a couple of weeks, I don't know, later, he had gotten with all of my family and friends and planned this big surprise. So he told me we were going to like this big meeting. I don't know if it was like an endorsement deal or something. He was just like, well, yeah, it's dinner. And they said I could bring you. We're just going to be talking some business stuff and they're going to get to know me, blah, blah, blah. So I thought it was like this important dinner. He told me, make sure you look nice. I want to make a good first impression, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, okay. So we go to the restaurant and there's a private room. And he opens the doors and all of my friends and family, his family are there. There's like candles everywhere and roses and music playing. And then he does it. And I'm just like, oh my God, like I was really surprised. So,
that's really so sweet. Yeah,
he knows how much like our families mean. So I thought, I understood like why he didn't do it in pairs. Like he wanted everybody to witness it and be there. So I was like, okay, you get a pass for not doing it in pairs.
I love that. Gosh, that's so funny because we had a trip planned to Paris and I straight up told him, I was like, please don't do it there because I'm going to anticipate it and I'm going to know that it's going to happen. And so then I thought, okay, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. I thought it was going to be forever, but he did it right before. So then we celebrated in Paris. So that is so wild. That is literally so wild. I think it's so funny because like you said, once you have these preconceived notions of what your life is going to be like with an athlete and then you get in it and it's different. Obviously you're telling me Harry is sweet. He's amazing. He's funny. He's all these things. But before you got into it, what did you kind of think your life might look like?
To be honest, I didn't really know. I just knew, you know, you see these things like lifestyles with the rich and famous, you know, you just kind of had that image.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely were blessed to have nice things and do things and exposed to a lot, but it was just different. I don't know. I guess it's just different once you step into those shoes, but I definitely did think that I was going to have to deal with all of the craziness, which there was. There definitely was some craziness in the beginning when we first started dating. Like we went through
like what?
There was a lot of crazy. I mean, my husband, let's put it this way. My husband is not the man that he is today or the man that I married when I first met him.
Okay.
I'll tell you himself. He was definitely wild and crazy. And he was a ladies' man when I first met him. So some of my intuition was right when I first met him.
Like, yep, it was.
I mean, but he was a single bachelor, you know, first year on the team. I can't say that I blame him. I knew.
Sure.
That's another reason why I think I never took him serious. Like it took us a long time to kind of get to a serious place.
So you had known about everything that he was doing and you were like, okay, let's go.
I wouldn't say that I knew at the time. Like okay. I figured it out as we were going and later down the line, like, oh, so that's what you were doing. You know, like as we got more serious and more like our friendship built, he was able to be more open and honest. Well, yeah, you know, back in the day I used to, okay, now I know.
Yep. No. At least you didn't know then maybe, because then maybe you might be more deterred, I guess.
We probably wouldn't be married. I don't know, but I'm a no nonsense type of girl. So,
I like it. Love it.
I don't know if he would have made it this far. There were definitely some wild experiences, just like parties and traveling and different things, being around his teammates and things like that. When they all get together, they're crazy. But other than that part, some of that was realistic. You know, I did experience a little bit of that, but not as much as people made it out to be.
Right. I mean, you hear all of these stories and I think that people don't really understand that, you know, this stuff does go on, but there's also really good people too. And there's also people that do find a time to settle down. I mean, you know, guys don't mature until they're like, I don't know, 40. It takes a long time. So after you guys had those conversations, were you like, okay, thank goodness you're the person that you are now?
I was a little bit. I was just a little relieved. I mean, in the back of my head, you know how you just have that intuition, you just know.
Yeah.
I knew starting out that he was on some other stuff. Like I knew. But I never, I was like, I don't even want to know. Like we're not there. So it's okay. Like we're just friends at this point. I don't even know. Like it's probably better that I don't know because it's going to be a turnoff for me.
So were you guys just like texting as friends? Like how was that even working?
Yeah. Like we definitely weren't like dating or serious when we first, you know, exchanged numbers. It took a while. Like I said, even after the first date, we weren't really feeling each other. So it took maybe, I would say at least a year before we really, you know, we're feeling each other and like starting to more so like date.
That's a long time.
More casual. Like I would see him at the games we both did a lot of like community service events with the Falcons. So I would see him around and then, you know, every now and then he would text, hey, how are you doing? Or, you know, that sort of thing. Just casual conversation.
Basically you made him work for it.
Yeah. It took a good minute for us to kind of get on one accord and really like move to like dating.
Which is a good thing, though.
Yeah.
You guys were friends first.
Yeah. We weren't friends at first, actually. We didn't like each other. But yes, we grew to be friends first.
What was it that made you guys not like each other so much? You were just like...
We just didn't.
That's so funny. It didn't,
like, click.
Do you ever joke about that now? Because
we do.
You're married. How long have you been married?
We're going on 8 years in July.
Oh my gosh. And you guys didn't like each other.
No, none at all.
That's so funny. So when was the moment where you were like, okay, Harry, maybe?
Well, to be honest, I will say this is funny to me. He always says I'm lying, but even like when I agreed to go on the first date with him, like I honestly didn't realize that he was attractive. I don't know. I just, when we went on the first date and he sat down and he cracked a joke and smiled. I was like, oh my God, he's really cute. I was like, okay, this is going to be harder than I thought. Cause initially I was just like, okay, I'm just going to go out on one date with him just to kind of shut him up and, you know, tell my god brother, you know, yeah, I gave him a chance. Okay. So I was like, this will be easy. I'll just go on a date and then kind of, you know, just push him to the side. I don't want to get in trouble. But then I was like, he's cute. Like, this may be harder than I thought to keep him at bay.
Oh my gosh. So,
okay, but yeah, I would say just getting to know him and realizing, you know, that we had a lot of the same values and seeing that he really had a big heart and was kind of sweet on the inside, because on the outside he was really like kind of mean and rude. Oh, that was probably one of the things that I didn't like. He was really kind of like rude. He has a really smart mouth, can be very rude. So I had to kind of get used to that.
But he was also what? How old when you guys met?
Let's see. He's 30. How old is he? 35 now? No, 36 now.
One of the two.
He's maybe like 24, 25.
Yeah. So, I mean, that explains a lot.
Yeah. He was young. Like I said, that's why I was like, half of the stuff that I heard after the fact that he was, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, you're already like pretty much prepared because A, rookie in the NFL. We all know how that goes. B, you know, he's 24 years old and now he's in the league for the first time. It's just all of these things, the stars align and guys do crazy things. I mean, what can you say?
Absolutely.
Enjoy your Sonic.
Chili, cheese. They both have a cha and a cha, almost like a cha-cha. So you got okay. The chili and the cheese, the fried onion strings, and now you're moving. You're feeling good. You're smiling a little bit.
Yeah.
The new Twisted Texan Cheeseburger and Footlong Coney, made with crunchy fried onion strings, flavorful chili, and perfectly melted delicious cheese. Choose between a cheeseburger and a footlong coney. It's Twisted, y'all. Try one half price in the app. Only online or in the Sonic app. Add-ons extra, limit one, not good with other offers. At participating Sonic drive-ins for a limited time.
So let's talk about the show, because that's obviously everybody who knows you. They know that you've been on the show. WAGS, for people that don't know what it is wives and girlfriends of athletes or sports stars. And the show, let's see, there was Atlanta. What else?
Atlanta, Miami, and LA.
Okay. Okay. I'm from South Florida. I remember the Miami one now. And you were on the show. How did you get approached to do the show? Like, how did this all work?
That's a long story too.
Girl, I got time.
What's funny is that I never envisioned or imagined myself like as a reality star or somebody on TV. Like that, yeah. Just the thought of that sounded weird to me. But we actually were working on our own projects before WAGS. So, and that came about actually from Hard Knocks.
Oh, cool.
The HBO like football special, I don't even know if they still do
they
that.
They do, yeah, they do.
The Atlanta Falcons were featured 1 year and Harry was on the team. We had just gotten married, I think maybe the year before. And Harry was one of the players that they highlighted and they featured. So they kind of came here, they filmed us like at home interacting. I think I was getting ready to go do Mrs. International. I'm a pageant girl, former pageant girl. I was like
awesome.
Mrs. Georgia that season. So he was like helping me pack to do that. And I was in the kitchen trying to fry chicken. And, you know, we were just bantering back and forth and people were like, oh my God, like they're funny. And I was like, we are not funny. Like we're just normal. Like even that was like weird to me. Like, you think that we're funny? We're entertaining? Like you want to watch us? Like that's weird. So Hard Knocks was like our first little like teaser at, you know, being on television and people actually kind of knowing who you are and following you. Well, for me anyway, people knew Harry, but so that was that experience. And from that experience was actually somebody who worked at a production company, at a TV company, saw us on there and approached us about our own show, was like, hey, you guys are really entertaining. Like, have you ever thought about doing your own show or being on TV? And we're like, absolutely not. So it took us a while to kind of warm up to that notion. Like, I think it may, like, maybe like even a year passed and they were still kind of like approaching us.
Wow.
So we finally was like, you know what? Okay, sure. We'll give it a try. So we, they flew us to LA. We met with like a whole bunch of different networks, like BET, VH1, the OWN network, Bravo. Like, that was an amazing experience, just being able to like sit in the offices with the CEOs and the people making decisions, kind of like, hey, this is us. Do you like
that? That's awesome.
So actually E, who is the network that does WAGs, put up our pilot. So well, selected us to do a pilot. So we did a pilot for E. They loved it. It just didn't really work out. So that was our first taste. And then after that, I started getting approached by like, literally, I don't know. It was like somebody wrote my phone number on a bathroom wall. Like, call her if you want somebody to be on TV. I don't know. It was really weird. Like, Housewives, like Real Housewives of Atlanta approached me.
Wow.
I even did like some test shooting for them. Another show approached me, and then WAGs approached me. And so when they came, by that time, I was used to like, okay, maybe this isn't so bad. Maybe, you know, maybe I can do this. And I remember my mom telling me like, and I'm, cause I was like so doubtful, like, I just don't think this is for me. Like, and she was just like, cause we're really kind of like deep in our faith. She was just like, look, like if God keeps presenting you with these opportunities, like you've got to take it. Like this could be the door to something bigger, you know,
absolutely.
It's giving you the platform to do, you can do so much other things with your platform. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go for it. So WAX came. I wasn't really familiar at the time with the franchise. There was only LA. There was the Los Angeles one, and they were working on Miami. So I watched it. I was like, ah, it seems a little, you know, like I kind of felt like they were stereotypes on us. So I was just like, I don't know if I really want to do this. But they were like, no, Atlanta's going to be different. We want to try a different perspective, something positive. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. But anyway, they talked me into it and I just said, okay, sure, I'm going to try it. So I did it. It was definitely a learning experience. It was a good experience. So I'm happy I did it. But yeah, it was a lot, a whole lot.
Did you know the girls prior to the show?
I knew some of the girls prior to the show. So I will say, I think because I kind of had a heads up on everybody else. Because I already had a relationship with E and they really liked me. So they kind of was like, who do you know? Like, who are you friends with in this community? Like, who can you bring on? So I ended up bringing on my sister.
I ended up bringing on
my sister's friend who also was a cheerleader, who was like a pageant friend as well. And then my girlfriend, Kaylin Riquet, was also in the dibs. So because we knew each other from cheerleading, she was a Hawks dancer as well. She got on. There was another girl that was my friend that I was trying to get on, but she ended up deciding to do something else. So yeah, there were a couple of the girls that I knew, and then a couple of the other girls I was able to kind of get to know during the filming process.
Which is good, because it probably made you a little bit more comfortable, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely, going into it, like I was like, okay, these are my girls. Like, you know, they can't make us do anything we don't want to do. You know, yeah. We're just going to be us.
And so was Harry like all into this? He was like, all right, let's do this show. Cause it was more about you guys, right?
Yeah. Harry definitely was not into it. What was funny and really like challenging actually was that he was in Tennessee. He was at that time part of the Titans, and he was like, you know, in training camp practicing, you know, then the season started. So he's there most of the time in Nashville. So that was really challenging, but I will say he was very supportive. He wasn't like gung-ho, like, yeah, let's go film, let's do it. But he was like, okay, if you want to do this, then I'm going to be supportive and you just let me know what you need. So there were days where we would kind of like schedule like, hey, they want you to film, can you do this? And he would kind of work it out and let me know what days he was available.
Because I'm sure they anticipated him being with the Falcons whenever it was going to be the Atlanta WAG season, right?
I want to say, I believe that we were already on the, he was already on the Titans when they casted.
Okay. Us. So they knew.
They knew. Yeah. We were former Falcons and our house is here in Atlanta. So
you've always had the house in Atlanta.
Yeah. Born and raised, both from Atlanta. So we were, Atlanta was always going to be our home base.
Which is awesome because you got to play for the Falcons. Yeah. So you said the show was a learning experience. Why? How?
Like I was saying before, I think I went into it just a little naive. Like I had had those other experiences, but those other experiences, like our pilot was our pilot, you know, like there was some level of control and input. Whereas with an entire cast and, you know, it's not your show. You have no input, you have no say so. You're pretty much at their mercy. To, you know, whatever, you know, the production does in editing or posts, like it is what it is. You have no control over that. So from my perspective, like I was saying before, I was like, okay, these are my girls. We're just going to be us. We're going to do us. We're going to be real. And, I quickly found out that with storylines and editing that can easily change. So again, I think what we started out, they were like, we're going to make it positive. Then we're like, okay, no, let's spice this up. Like, let's turn it up a notch. So there was a lot of like behind the scenes of like them inputting stuff and throwing bones to people and just with editing and certain scenarios that were, you know, so I kind of had to like learn to just like adjust my mind. By the end of it, I had was kind of like, okay, at this point, this is reality TV. This is actual real life.
Right.
And I, you know, a lot of people don't know that, but it was hard for me because I take a lot of pride just in my reputation and, you know, who I am. And I didn't want to portray somebody that I wasn't.
Sure.
So I just remember like literally like getting into it with like producers, like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, no, I'm not saying that. Like I stood very firm, you know, some of it, it's like, you know, for people who don't know me, sure, I can come off as bougie or the air cheerleader. Cool. Like those are very surface level stereotypes, like whatever, who cares? Yes.
Who cares?
People that know me know that's not really me. So whatever, but there were deeper like things where they would like try to paint me in a certain light and I'd be like, no, okay, well that, like, I'm not, you know, it's really kind of like draw the line. Like, no, I'm not doing that.
Were you ever super nervous when an episode came out? Were you ever like, okay, I don't really know how this is going to go?
Well, luckily, I will say they, for the most part, I saw a good bit of the episodes before they aired. So watching them was still nerve-wracking, though, because, you know, you're looking at other people's reaction to it. Like, people are tweeting.
Oh, yeah.
People are going on my Instagram, commenting, you know, like, so it was still a little nerve-wracking, but at least I was kind of able to, like, brace myself, like, okay, well, I saw that this happens in the episode. Let me just mentally prepare myself for what's to follow. And to be honest, it didn't turn out as bad as I thought with editing, because literally midway through the season, we got word that they were going to cancel the franchise.
Oh boy.
So it was kind of like, okay, well, let's forget trying to spice this up at this point. Let's just make it positive. I mean, it is what it is. We're most likely not going to get a second episode. So, I mean, a second season. So let's just, you know, so in post and editing, we went back and shot not even a couple. I think we shot for an extra like 2 or 3 months on the back end to kind of revamp it a little bit. So they were able to make it mostly positive, which I was really able to appreciate, because some of the scenes that we shot were really like not good. Like there were some that I was like, I'm so happy that did not make it on air. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know. There was one scene where there was like a big fight that almost broke out. I won't say who it was, but it was between one of the males, as in somebody's significant other.
Yeah.
One of the girls on the cast.
Oh my God.
And also like there were two other girls. It was just a lot that
transpired. A lot going on.
And it was actually at an event that I planned for my husband. Like it was like a send off party for him to go to training camp or something, like at a bowling alley. And it just really went left and downhill. And so my husband was like, see, why? And I was like, yep, thank God they're not airing it.
Oh my gosh, so they just decided not to air it.
They decided to go back and make it positive, which I'm so thankful, because there were a lot of positive moments and things on there that I felt like would have been overshadowed if they showed all the real drama. So we were just thankful because we didn't want it to be like we weren't necessarily involved in that, but we didn't want it to be a bad reflection upon us.
Of course.
But I'm just happy that in the end, you know, because editing was real scary for me. I'll just say that. Like, it was real, like literally to the point where when they did it in post, there were still really, you know, editing that I did not like at all. But I was like, because they spend it and made it mostly positive, I'm okay with it. Like, I'll let it slide. But like, literally they were editing words in my mouth. Like I will have said a comment about somebody or something in another scene, and they would take it and like put it over another scene to make it seem like I was talking about something else.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it got to be like really, the editing got to be crazy near the end. But again, because it was positive overall, like it really showed the girls coming together at the end and us being able to get along. Like, I'm like, okay, this is fine. I'll take this any day over like Love and Hip Hop or some crazy cares.
Also, I mean, I'm sure you were probably a little bit nervous because it is your personal life that you're putting out there.
Yeah. And I'm really private. So I honestly was just proud of myself for even, like I said, I never would have imagined. Like, I think before the show aired, I literally had maybe 500 followers on Instagram. Like, my page was private. I wouldn't accept, if I didn't know you, I would not accept you. And I, you know, Harry's a little private too. We've always just been kind of private, but you know, just having that push like into the world, like, here you go. That was definitely an adjustment.
Sure.
It turned out good. So I'm thankful for the platform and the opportunity.
Okay. Two-part question, because it brings me this point where you're saying, you know, everything is now public because you put everything out there on national television, but you know, you're public anyway, whenever your boyfriend at the time, then maybe fiance, when he was playing football, you guys were public as well. So did you ever have any crazy moments with other girls or fans or whatever? Was it more so with the show or when Harry was playing in the NFL?
When he was playing, like I said, the first half, I felt like our relationship was really low key.
Yeah.
You know, we had to keep it a secret. When we, you know, came out in public, I didn't really, you know, I think I may have gotten a couple of naysayers like, oh, so you were a cheerleader, you know, like somebody, like, I think like one time after the game, they were like, wait, did I not just see you on the field? I'm like, no, I don't cheer anymore, actually. you know, just side, like, you know, more comical type stuff, just brush off your shoulder. I don't really recall like any catty moments. I will say, like, I felt like with the Falcons organization, they were definitely first class.
And, you know, he was playing what? When did he leave the NFL?
I actually think the year that Wags premiered, that was his last season.
Which was
in 2018, I think.
So not that long ago.
Yeah, 2018, I think.
Do you like life more now or when he was playing?
I like now that he is home more.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go back and forth between Atlanta and Nashville, especially now that I have another, you know, before when he was playing, we only had one kid, and we had my daughter. But now that we have my son as well, like that would have been a lot. So I'm thankful that I feel like we have, you know, just we're more stable. But I will say I do miss going to the games. Like I miss going and seeing him out there, you know, doing what he loves. But now I get to watch him, you know, in another phase of life. Watching him do his media stuff is fun. So, yeah.
Do you ever critique him? You've been on TV now. You know how it goes.
You critique him, actually. I do. I actually, like, even for, I'm always, like, trying to, like, help him. Like, for Christmas, I bought him a whole bunch of lighting. So now I have some of his lighting on. I don't even know how to work the rest of it. I almost built, like, a mini studio, like, in our office.
Love that.
So I bought him like an HD camera for, you know, webcam and some lighting and some microphone. I like bought him a whole bunch of stuff, you know, just, you know, I'm like watching his stuff like, hey, we can really like improve the quality if we do this. Or like I'll see a clip and I'm like, hey, you need to really like push this, market this, post this on Facebook, pop this up like this.
So you guys are a good team.
I really like when you do the fun questions that like, you know. I don't know how much he really listens to me with my input, but
clearly, you guys have a whole studio now.
But I do definitely give my input.
But so you like that he's home a little bit more now. What do you guys like to do when you have downtime?
Well, I mean, I will say that COVID gave us a whole lot of downtime. quarantine was probably the roughest thing Literally, since I have known Harry, this is the most that I have seen him home in the over 10 years that I've known him.
I believe that.
Like, literally, when he played, you know, they had games, you know, every weekend they'd be traveling. And then the off season, he loves to travel. So he would be gone here and there.
Yep.
Like, literally, quarantine, he was home for, like, 3-4 months straight. Like, I have never experienced that.
It was definitely a change of pace.
Yeah. So we, in his spare time, he loves to cook. That was something new that he picked up. And I love for him to cook for me.
I was going to say, okay.
So that's something new. He calls his stuff, like, Chef HD. His food is actually really good, though. So I'm thankful for that. That's something that he's been doing, or we've been doing. Like, I've been eating his food and he's been cooking it.
What's the best thing that he's made so far? Let's see.
Well, okay. So we like Southern food. So my family has, like, this recipe for candied yams.
Ooh.
And he just actually made this last night. So he, like, took my family's recipe and then, like, made it better. So he made, like, candied yams and collard greens last night. And it was
good?
Good. Yes. Excellent.
Dang. Okay, Harry.
That's, like, I can't cook those things.
Oh, me neither.
Like, he cooks. The Southern food is not really, I'm, like, quick, easy, go-to-go meals, like, for the but he's, like, really, like, taking his time in there. But, yeah, cooking, we love to watch movies. Before COVID, we would have a movie date, like, every week to see whatever was coming out.
Doesn't that make you so sad? Like, when are we going to go to the movies?
We actually got to go to the movies for Valentine's Day.
Wait, what's open?
The whole theater to ourselves. We went to Cinebistro.
I've heard of
this, I think. They serve, like, real food. Like, you can order, like, salmon and spinach. Like, they have, like, real food, not just, like, finger food, like chicken tenders.
And wine and stuff, right?
Yeah, and, like, a full bar.
Oh, I need to go.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we did that full theater to ourselves.
That was the first time
I think we've gone probably, like, over a year. So we definitely missed that. And then we love to travel, which, again, has been limited.
Yeah.
COVID. So we did recently go to St. Martin.
How was that?
Amazing. One of our favorite vacation spots. His friend owns a house there.
Perfect.
So we were able to stay at his friend's house versus doing, like, the whole hotel thing.
Yeah, that's super nice and obviously safer. So that's great. And it looked beautiful. I saw your pictures on Instagram. It looks so pretty. So let's talk about kids, because you guys have two beautiful babies. You have a daughter and you have a son. When did kids come into the picture? When did you guys say, okay, we're ready to be parents?
Well, we both knew that we wanted kids. We, you know, actually Harry, even before we got married and right away, he would have, like, all these God kids. Like, he kept adopting other people's kids. Like, I would go Christmas shopping and have, like, two buggies full of kids stuff. And I'm like, we don't even have kids. Like, what is going on here? He has nieces and nephews, so he's always loved kids. And same for me. Like, I work at a dance studio. I own a dance studio with kids. So
awesome.
We love kids. But I literally had to tell him, like, look, we're going to have a kid soon. Can you please stop adopting? Don't adopt anyone else's kids. Like, this is too much.
It's so fun.
So we did wait a year or two before we start trying, because we just wanted to kind of enjoy that time. And everybody, that was, like, the best advice anybody ever gave me. Like, just wait a little bit. Don't rush to have kids. Like, that
just
was the
be
best.
Married.
And I'm so happy that I did that, because now I see what they're talking about. Like, I understand. And I'm so happy that I waited.
Are the kids a little bit crazy?
Yeah. The kids, it's crazy. Our kids are crazy. Like, our kids have their dad's personality. And they're really just very active and energetic and all over the place. It's challenging.
How old are they?
My son will be 2 in July and my daughter is 4.
Oh, so wow.
Still in that, like, toddler temper tantrum phase.
I was going to say they're young. They're little.
That can be challenging. But I heard it gets better. So my fingers are crossed that, you know, they get older.
I'm sure it'll get better. I have, you know, believe it or not, I have a brother that him and I are 20 years apart. He's 8, almost 9, because I'm about to be 29. So it does get better. I remember when he was that age, he was a little bit crazy, my little brother, and now he's chilled out, but it took a long time. So it'll come.
I sure hope so. But yeah, we waited a little bit and then I pretty much planned my first pregnancy. I got lucky. Like,
did you?
I was like, I am not having this baby during the season.
Okay.
So map it out right now. I downloaded me an app. And I said, okay, this is when we need to try. So the baby will come this date. And I didn't think it was going to work, but it did.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. I'm glad that you brought that up because that's something that I always ask either coaches' wives or athlete wives. I've always said, I'm like, listen, when we get to the point where we want to have kids, I've got to plan it because not only with my job, but like his job too, I'm not about to be super pregnant on the sidelines during football season. And I don't want a new baby whenever, you know, he's busy and off and doing his thing. And I'm sure that was your mentality too.
Exactly. I said, you know what? I'm not going to play myself because I know my husband during the season, he is like laser beam focused. Like,
yep.
And I probably wouldn't have gotten any help. but luckily we had our baby in May.
That's nice.
So that was the off season for him. I think he may have had just like a, you know, training camp or something right after that, like a mini camp or something. But like literally he was in practice in Nashville. And I went into labor with my daughter. I was like, okay, I think she's going to come. So I called him. He got on a plane and came straight to the hospital.
But so, did he make it in time?
Yeah. He made
it. Okay, good. Woo,
with
good.
Actually, what I'm always getting on him was that he got there, took a Benadryl, and slept through most of my labor process. And they woke him up when it was like, okay, the baby's about to come now.
Were you ready to just kill him?
I was at first, but I thought about it. I said, you know what? He's been practicing. He flew straight here.
You're nicer than me. I wouldn't have cared.
The benefit of the doubt that he's here and he's present. And the other thing is he would have gotten on my nerves. Like, he would have gotten on my nerves. So it's better, actually, that he was asleep because he was doing a whole lot of yapping and talking. He was making jokes saying how he was going to deliver the baby and he was going to be down at the bottom saying down, sit, hike, hood.
Oh my God. French.
So I'm happy that he was asleep.
Oh my gosh. If I would have lost my mind if he did that.
Uh-huh.
He did not do that.
He said he was going to bring in a camera and video. I said, no, I don't, you know, some people want those memories, but I just want you to be here and hold my hand. That's it. I don't want you to say it. Just hold my hand.
I just want the picture of the baby once it's out. I mean,
exactly. That's it. I don't want a video of what's going on down there.
I never really want to revisit that. I want to like never see that in my life. I just want to know that it happened, you know?
Exactly.
So what about your son came after he was done playing, right? Your son's really little. He's a baby.
Yeah, well, he's one. We call him a big boy. He's a toddler, so he thinks he's a big boy.
But oh my gosh.
So yeah,
he's so cute.
He's still little.
So he came after Harry was done playing.
Yes.
So which is good.
It was good. The only thing is I do kind of wish that he was able to have that same experience as my daughter. Like to have for those sure. My daughter has the cutest picture, you know, holding hands with her dad on the field and him coming up and kissing her in the stands. So we do kind of wish that he would have been able to have those moments. But I think everything works out in perfect timing. Like, you know, I honestly wouldn't have been able to handle two going back and forth from Nashville. It would have been too much. So I think it worked out.
So were you living here when he was with the Titans?
We still had our house here. So I have a business here. So, and my mom is my business partner. So she would primarily kind of run it for me while I was in Nashville, but I would come back every so often. So like every couple of weeks I would come home, just check on the house, check on, you know, business and that sort of thing. And I would go back and forth. So if there was an event going on at work, like if we had a dance competition or a recital, I would come in and then I would just come in every so often.
Oh, that is crazy. I mean, that's a lot of moving around. B, like you're trying to work your schedule, his schedule. I feel that. I mean, it's tough whenever you're working and they're working. And I think before I got into, you know, my personal life, I had this preconceived notion that athletes' wives and coaches' wives didn't work. And then I've come to find out, honestly, most of them do. And you're a business owner.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I will say was definitely a notion like that everyone kind of put on me. Like, it was funny because before we got married, I told you I was dancing professionally and I was a cheerleader. But every now and then I would do like a commercial or like a live performance with an artist or something like that. So I had like a little agent kind of sort of. And I just remember like I got married and like they stopped sending me emails and like casting stuff. And they're like, oh, well, you're married now. I didn't think you wanted to work still. And I was like,
did I say that?
That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would I not want to work? Like, okay. So that was weird, but definitely like people all the time would be like, oh, you work? Like you have a job? Or like, why are you still doing that?
Yeah. People automatically assume that.
And I want it.
Yes.
In my life, in my career. You know, there is a group of wives that don't work. So I think they kind of take that smaller group and kind of put that stereotype on everybody.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like for some people, it's not necessarily plausible for them to do both. I get it. Yeah. I do believe in, you know, seasons. There are different seasons in life that you go through. Like there were times where maybe I didn't take certain job opportunities because of Harry's schedule. You know, I just, you know, and right now I'm in a season where I'm mom. Like, you know, it's not my career wise. I'm not like pushing the gas forward right now because, you know, with COVID and everything and having two little ones, it's like right now is my like downtime to kind of just re-up and wait for the next season. But so I get it, you know, with players that hop around to a lot of different teams, especially like in the NBA, like I get how it would be hard to kind of have maybe certain careers. So it's understandable. I get where people kind of get that notion from, but I'm like,
yeah,
it's not everybody. Like some of us like really do work and have careers and businesses and do all kinds of things.
Yeah. I mean, and which being a mom, I'm not a mom, but being a mom is also a full-time job. It requires a lot of work. So you throw that onto everything else you're doing. I mean, that's a pretty tough schedule.
And I will say that I did not, before I had kids, I did not give moms credit. Like I was like, I have always said like, I could never be a full-time stay-at-home mom. I just don't see how they do it. Like it's, you know, it just seems like it would be. So now that I'm, you know, not by choice, but with two little ones full-time, so to speak, I get it. And I'm like, wow, you know, like that really, it really is a job.
My last question for you is, just update me on kind of what you're doing now. And you said full-time mom for the time being because of COVID, but what's on the horizon? What are you working on?
So of course, like you said, my kids do take up a lot of my time. Yeah. So I still have my dance studio that I own. So we are, you know, currently just working on restructuring that. COVID definitely hit us pretty hard in that industry, but we are, you know, rebuilding the dance studio, so to speak, working on that. And then I also have another like side hustle, side business with my sister Ariel. So we have a business called S to the Brand. We're basically like bloggers.
Awesome.
We do a lot of like vlogs together and kind of just documenting sisterhood and spreading positivity. But we also have a line that we're working on. We did an athleisure line 2 years ago before I got pregnant. Once I got pregnant, I was like, okay. We're gonna have to pause for 1 second.
Pause the athleisure wear for a minute.
Pause for a second. I just need a moment. But yeah, so we were ready to come back with a bang and then COVID hit. And I was like, okay, well, let's just, we're gonna keep going and just pursue more of like the blogger type stuff for now. And then we'll press the gas as things start to pick up and the world opens back up. So yeah, we're working on a new line. It won't be totally athleisure. It'll be a mixture, have some other elements in there, but we just wanted it to be like fun and comfy and stuff that we would wear on an average normal day out.
I love that. I mean, you've got so much going on and you have so many different projects. I can tell you're entrepreneurial. That's how you are. I mean,
I have an entrepreneurial spirit. So they
you
say.
Really do. You definitely do. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show. I mean, you're so down to earth and just so chill and easygoing. And so I love talking to you and getting your perspective on what it's like to be not a former, but an athlete wife.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
You know, one of the favorite things of mine that she said was that we go through different seasons in life. And I think that goes for everyone, not just those of us that are married to the game, so to speak. But I think going through seasons of life is just something that we all have to go through. And she gave such an interesting perspective. She's hilarious, isn't she? I love the fact that Harry proposed on their first date as a joke. Now they're actually married, have two beautiful children, and the rest is history. Good stuff from Kiara. Okay, my next guest. Super excited about her because her and I have known each other for quite a long time, mostly because of where I worked previously. Before Atlanta, everybody knows I was in Montgomery, Alabama. Even though she's not local to Atlanta, I'm starting to branch out because it's not just the Georgia wives that I want to get in touch with. There's so many incredible women that need to come on this show. And the first one that I'm branching out with, it's Christy Malzahn, Gus Malzahn's wife. You know, the former head coach of the Auburn Tigers. Now he's the head coach at UCF Central Florida down in Orlando. She's been super busy lately, so we're getting to catch up, which is really fun. And I know this is an episode that a lot of people there in War Eagle country will be really excited about, but I hope people in Florida will listen too, because they're such a great family. Christy is so inspirational and just really a pillar when it comes to coaches' wives. She really takes it seriously and does a great job. So can't wait for you guys to listen to that episode. But as always, have a great week, and I will see you next time on Married to the Game.